Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Just to get a little bit more perspective on that and the Browns running back battle, we bring in a former running back of the Cleveland Browns and a super friend of the show and an outstanding track coach. From what I hear, he is on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. His name, Jamel White. Hello, Jamel. How are you?
What's going on, my man? How's everybody doing?
How are you? Tom Withers is in today for
Jeff.
Hey,
Jamel. Good to hear you from you, man.
Oh, no problem, man. I'm good, man. I mean, I'm just out here. This weather's nice. I mean, it's good. It's better than being cold or raining. Yesterday was bad because it was raining a lot. But
you run fast. You don't drive fast. Am I right?
No, I don't drive fast, man. I'm like an old person, dude. Like, really. Like, I'm not trying to mess around.
It is true. I've been in the car with him before.
You know what?
You always drive slower, me or you, Jamel?
I drive slower than you. You're like a race car driver.
No, I am not like a race car driver. Now, at least not Andy. Since the last time we were in the car together.
Listen, I've been in the car with you, so I know how you switch over lanes. I know how you get busy. So, yeah, you like a race car driver.
I will say this. Even in my times covering you back in the day, Jamel, you always came across as kind of an old soul, though, like a good, grounded person that kind of understands, you know, what you should and shouldn't be doing on and off the field. We know how hard you had to work to get to the point you did and have the career that you had. So just, we're both curious as to your take on Shadur and what's transpired here over the last couple of days with these speeding tickets.
Dude, so this is my take on it, man. Like, when you get into the NFL or whatever the case is, like, I don't know what his background is like, but it seemed like he is one of those people who really didn't have a hard time growing up, and you got to appreciate things a little bit differently. And I'm not saying that he doesn't appreciate things, but that would be somebody's take on it. Like, dude, you don't really appreciate the opportunity that you're getting. Now, at the same time, it's just a speeding ticket. I mean, but they're fast speeding tickets.
Yeah,
for sure. You can end up doing damage to yourself and other people, but you know, that would be like somebody's take on what's going on with him right now. Like, do you not care? And I'm not saying that he doesn't care, but that's like somebody looking outside.
That's the impression you get, right?
Jamel, if they said, hey, Jamel, we want a vet to come in and talk to the rookies, what would you say about getting your name in the headline outside of football?
Oh, absolutely, man. I think all rookies need somebody to talk to, man. And that's one of the best things that the Browns did when Mr. Lerner was alive, man. Like, when you go out on Tuesdays, they'll partner you up with, like, somebody like Hanford. You know, that's how I met Hanford. That's how I met Reggie. So they would help me not make mistakes because they already made them, right? So they kind of understood, like, hey, Jamel, you're young, you're about to run into this, this, and this, and you should probably think before you just do whatever. And that, I'm telling you, man, that put a big light on certain things that I shouldn't do. But also, man, just my dad in general, growing up with him, he was a military dude, so I wasn't about to get away with murder at my house. And plus, you know, I have a single parent growing up, and it was my dad. And certain households is not that way. So I just kind of understood things a little bit differently, and I wasn't given a whole bunch growing up. So
yeah, can you kind of talk about your background a little bit too? Because I don't know that everybody knows. I mean, you didn't have you didn't grow up in the safest of the neighborhoods. Is that the nicest way to put it?
Yeah, man. Like, I grew up in South Central Los Angeles in an all-blood neighborhood, and, you know, it was, you got to get up every day when people worried about certain things. I was worried about, you know, I just got to survive for the day. You know what I mean? So the reality was you wanted to either play a sport to get out of there or do something to get out of there, or you end up dead, man. So where I'm from, it's a little different. And how I grew up was a little different, and how my dad had to kind of put rules on me and kind of make sure that I learned on my own and not take up from me for everything, it's different nowadays, man. Kids don't get that. Kids, you know, and I'm a victim of it. I mean, not a victim of it, but I'm a person that does it to his own kids himself. Like, you try and give them everything that you didn't have, and that's not always a good thing.
Jamel, then, how do you think the Browns, I don't want to belabor the point here on Shadur, and, you know, I don't want to, you know, like you said before, it's just a traffic ticket, but it's a, I don't know, there's some red flags here in, to some degree. How do you think the Browns are viewing this? Do you think, is this where the team would then reach out to him in this situation? Do you think there's a phone call made? Like, how do they take something like this, you know, an early misstep, if you will? Again, it's not the worst thing in the world, but it is something. How do you think the Browns view this?
Oh, I most definitely give them a call. Why wouldn't you? I mean, you about to run into a person who could be a big-time hit for you because you draft them late, you got a good bargain and a quarterback. I want to step in front of it early so I can be like, hey, listen, this is what we need to kind of establish. And I'm not just talking about the Browns doing it. Joe Flacco, people like that, like the veterans should be stepping in there like, look, man, here's the deal. Like, I had a great one, man. Roman Oben was awesome for me. Like, he was a lineman. I'm a running back. This dude took me underneath his wing, was like, all right, this is what you don't want to do, and this is what you do want to do. And when you have that kind of environment, that locker room like that, that's what should be expected. And you can't put everything on the Browns, but those veterans got to step up and kind of try and show them the way. And I think they should do that with all of them.
Do you think that the average fifth-round draft pick would probably be sweating bullets when this happens?
Oh, absolutely.
That's a fair point, yeah.
But I don't know that Shadur is. I mean, one, because maybe he's a quarterback, and I don't know. I mean, really have it, too. So, but I would think, like, if this would happen, Jerome Ford, fifth-round draft pick, right? If this would have happened to him, I wonder if you're Jerome, you're probably worried. You're like, oh, I was a fifth-round pick, man. I'm already trying to do everything I can to make this team, and now all of a sudden I got this over my head, and now the coaches are going to look at me sideways, probably, right?
Right. Yeah, I mean, I would do that, man. I was an undrafted free agent, so everything that I did, I wouldn't go out. Even when I did get a little bit of money, I still wouldn't go out. I wouldn't go hang out with nobody. I didn't go do crazy stuff. I was always thinking that everything I do is under the microscope. And the other crazy part about that is when you've done playing football and you've been put in that spotlight, you never come out of that spotlight. To be honest, you may dim a little bit because you're not playing, you're not on TV all the time, but you get these diehard Browns fans that remember you. And so you just can't go out and just do whatever you want to do. And if you're a fifth round draft pick, sixth round draft pick, nowadays even a third round draft pick, man, I'll be stepping so, like, I would be on eggshells all the time, man. I'd be trying not to do the wrong thing, man. Like, that would be me. But at the same time, his background, the way that he was raised, I don't know any of that. I don't know that Deion probably got on the phone with him like, hey, man, what you doing? You know what I mean? Like, he probably did that. You never know. So I just think right now, him being a rookie and doing things like that, he just got to tone it down. It's a little bit different from being in college.
Let's talk a little ball for a second, Jamel. You can break down running backs having played the position as well as anyone. In Quinshon Judkins and Dylan Sampson, the Browns seem to have a nice couple options here going forward. What are your initial impressions on those two rookie backs?
You know what, man? Here's the thing about them is they're going to come out and they're going to be explosive. They can run in between the tackles. They could go outside. They could catch the ball. I think they got – the Browns have always had, like, an electrifying backfield to me. Either they had a good one or a good two or a 1A, a 2A. I don't never look at them as they just want bigger dudes. Like, Nick was the exception to everything. But nowadays, if you look at all the teams, it's running back by committee most
right.
times.
Yeah, yeah.
So you got a third down back in both of those dudes. You can run up the middle in both of those dudes. So, you know, and I don't want to take any of the other running backs out of the equation, but I'm always excited about running backs. But at the same time, you got to have that offensive line. You know, you could be excited about a running back, but my first year here, I would get a handoff and get tackled before I even got a ball. So you may have good running backs, but if your front ain't where it need to be, that don't matter.
Jamel White, former Browns running back, joining us. If you're Jerome Ford and you've got Dylan Sampson and you've got Quinshon Judkins, excuse me, breathing down your neck, how do you approach camp? Obviously, he took a pay cut too, or they restructured his contract. If you're Jerome Ford, you're the vet here, although Pierre Strong's here too. But I'm just curious your thoughts of Jerome Ford's situation, knowing that Judkins and Sampson are here.
You know, he got to approach it a little bit differently now, and I think he probably understands that. Like, every time he approaches a game, he got to approach it. And I'm talking about preseason. You got to make things happen. That's just what it is, because at the end of the day, they're going to come down to who their roster is going to be. And if there's not enough room for extra running backs, if they got to take more DBs or more wide receivers. And nowadays people are taking more DBs and more wide receivers because you can put a wide receiver in the backfield and not have to block into a little screen from there. But, you know, you got to start putting – he does have good game tape, but when he gets into these preseason games, he got to put some things into play for himself just in case things don't work out for him here. It's a great thing that he took a pay cut. So, therefore, they're like, okay, we can probably get him through this other year. But at the same time, for himself as a business, he has to, you know, he has to produce the way that he's been producing.
I do got a couple other questions I want to ask you that are just kind of football related. First of all, Tom and I were talking before the show about 7-on-7, and I know you do some high school work, primarily with track. I'm just curious your thoughts on 7-on-7, because it seems to me, and maybe I've just been blind for the last couple of years to it, but it seems to me it just keeps growing and growing and growing. And, like, I see every month, every week, you know, here in the month of June, you see these high school teams that are out there with their non-linemen out there, and they're out playing 7-on-7 at, like, should that be a sanctioned high school sport? Or, you know, when you look at that, is this good for the skill players?
I think it's good for the skill players, but it's also bad for the skill players. Mm-hmm. And this is why I say it's also bad. You know for a fact that you're not about to take a slant over the middle and just get to run free. That is not going to – somebody is going to light you up. So at the same time, you're teaching bad habits to these skill players. You are. And then you're telling the linebackers, okay, you just got to pass them off. No, they're not going to pass you off. They're going to take their little 5 yards and they're going to try and dump you in the ground. That's what they're going to do in an actual game. So you're teaching things that is not normal for when you put pads on. And then you want them, after, I don't know, 2 months of doing 7-on-7, they go into practice and they thinking they about to run and somebody just going to pass them off, or you just going to run in the middle and no one's going to light you up. Dude, come on, be real. Like, I'm all for 7-on-7 when you are in like a practice type of atmosphere and you have on the shells, you know, you got your helmet on, you starting to think a little bit. I'm not running in there like that. That's crazy. But I think 7-on-7 is a work in progress. They need to kind of bring some stricter rules to it, I think.
Preach, Jamel. You know, it reminds me of AAU basketball, and having coached both boys and girls in high school, it would take us the first month of practice to get them to forget about all the bad habits they had just learned during their AAU season. And I kind of feel the same way about 7-on-7. It's not real football. And I mean, it's great in that it allows those skill players to, you know, develop their skills and what have you. But I just don't think it's a bad version of football. Would you agree?
Oh, I do agree. And the other thing that I didn't even mention, what quarterback just sitting back there for 4 seconds?
Yeah.
Who get to sit back there, move your feet around? You have no, I mean, your pocket presentation, the way that you have to maneuver the pocket, it's not there. They're not just letting you sit there and just, I get to scan the field, read it, do it all. Nah, you under duress, homie. Like, honest to God, there's big dudes coming after you, and you have to look through lanes to find all your different receivers, even your running back. Because let's just be honest, how many quarterbacks are 6'5"? Because I could tell you a whole bunch of linemen at 6'5". But if ain't nobody in front of you, you get a free vision of the field? Nah, that ain't going to happen. You got to, in a real game, you're looking through lanes. Look at Baker Mayfield. How tall is this dude? He makes all his passes because he has lanes he has to look through. You don't get that in 707. It's just a bad habit. So you take the idea of trying out. Yeah, some people look good when they try out because ain't nobody putting no pressure on them. Just like these quarterbacks, wide receivers, these running backs, they look good playing 707. Then you throw them pads on them, you're like, wait a minute, who's this person? That's the person that you really got.
But it is
That's
good.
Who he is.
Jamal, don't you think it's good for the universities? Because now you get all these kids on campus. Like Ohio State, we were talking about this, the last three, I think three of the last week, this week might have been the last week, but they're hosting 18 schools every Wednesday. And so maybe we're creating some opportunity for these kids to get looked at. That's the only other thing I can think of.
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously they're going to get looked at, but if you're trying to create that opportunity, that's great. But anybody who has a good football mind, they understand all the ins and outs of that. So when you're looking at a 707 game and I'm a coach at whatever university and I see a wide receiver continuously taking a slant and running across the middle where he knows that there's going to be linemen, linebackers lighting them up, I know that that's not real. So I can have that talk with him and then look at him on game tape when schools actually start playing. And then I'll see, okay, he's not going to be able to do that now. My focus is what is he doing in his actual game tape. And that brings me to all these kids nowadays. They send out these highlight tapes. Coaches don't want to see no highlight tapes. They want to see you in an actual full game. You messing up, you coming back. Can you come back and get it together after you done fell apart? Like, that's what they want to see. But now all these kids, man, they send out these highlight tapes. Like, colleges want that. But like I said, when you're doing 7-on-7, if you're a real football guy and you're really paying attention, you can weed out all the garbage.
You're looking at feet, my friend, aren't you? You're looking at feet. Jamal, we got to run. Thank you. Appreciate you. You're a man.
No problem.
Bye. I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Jamal.
All right, there you go. Browns former running back Jamal White on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. He'll be giving a seminar on how to make the pros
solid,
from 7-on-7.
He was great.
I didn't think we were going down that road, man. He exploded at 7-on-7. So we'll talk more about that.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
We talked a little bit about the Browns. By the way, Jamal White, if you missed any of the interview and you want to talk about 7-on-7,
he
just
had some
go
opinions,
back.
Didn't he?
Go listen to the. I didn't expect that, and he just like blew up on it. So it was great. We're going to talk to Tim May about that in a minute. Too.
I also liked his take on the Shador situation coming from a player's perspective, and he, you know, reiterated what we talked about, the opportunity that this kid has got, and don't waste it at all. Like, don't slow down. It's all good.
It is. Again, you kind of got to hear a little bit of his background, too, and understanding, you know, hey, like driving 101, he wasn't going to put himself in that position. So, and you know what? Probably 99.9%, well, 99.8% of the players probably feel the same way as probably Jamal. They're like, hey, this is an opportunity. You know, people, we want to be an accountant. You want to be, I don't know, you want to work at a temp agency? You want to work, I don't even work anywhere. You want to be a radio host? Okay, but the opportunity to be a professional athlete and
be the face of a franchise?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So all of those things are going on, and you just try to weigh that out against the benefits of getting behind the wheel and blasting through the speed limit. So 216-474-0092. 216-474-0092. All right, I know this is your favorite topic because you absolutely don't even want to talk about it. I don't know. So the Browns and the city of Cleveland are in Cuyahoga County Common Pleas Court today.
For speeding tickets.
Yes, no, for arguing out the Modell law about moving the team out of the city. So part of the issue here, too, is that by the time the Browns wanted to leave, they will have fulfilled their lease. They will have paid off everything they needed to pay off and pay back. the city any of the money that they had owed the city so that they would be lease free. Okay. That is part of the reasoning behind we got to get this done. We got to get moving on this. So that's where they are. Tom, just your general thoughts on where we are, because it does look like they are moving. And
general thoughts.
Even the county council said the other day, be prepared. The Browns are moving. Let's move forward. Let's try to figure out what to do here.
Okay. Some context here. I'm all for progress. I'm all for lakefront development. Long overdue in this city. This story pains my heart, and I'll tell you why. Hmm. First of all, I'm an old school, never lived in Cleveland until 1999 when I transferred here. My family's from Ohio. My parents met because of the Cleveland Browns. My mom was she was in radio and television in Buffalo, and my dad was a auditor / branch manager for the Hoover Company, and he was doing business in Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
This is late 50s. He was looking for, they were having a meeting, and he was looking for one of those great, and this is even before the NFL films became the NFL films, but they used to do like a yearly recap of team seasons, right? Like a 1 hour, what have you.
The Cardiac Kids movie, right?
So yeah. He's in Buffalo with all these guys from the Hoover Company, which was based in North Canton, Ohio. Mm-hmm. So there's all kinds of Ohio guys, Western New York guys, whatever. My dad had met my mom and had asked her, hey, do you have access to like a Cleveland Browns highlight film? So anyway, that's how they ended up meeting. So I go way back with the Browns, and I go way back with the Browns on the lakefront. Growing up, while we never lived in Cleveland, we would always make trips to Ohio, visit our relatives in the area, Brecksville, Ashland, what have you. We would always go to Indians games. We would always go to Browns games in the stadium. I ended up going to Ohio State because I grew up, you know, in that kind of a family. Spent some time in the dog pound as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Had some unbelievable memories. The place was a dump, but you know what? It was our dump, sure. Right? And to me, the greatest memories that the Cleveland Browns have ever had were made in that stadium. So I have an affinity to their lakefront home.
Let's be honest. They're the only memories of winning.
Yeah. I mean,
wait.
The last time they hosted a playoff game was in that place.
I know.
I got a big kick out of last year where everybody talked about the greatest memory of last year was what? The snow game.
Yeah.
On the Thursday night down in the stadium, right?
Yep.
You can't reproduce that in Brook Park.
No.
Although you probably could, but it wouldn't be the same.
Do you want to?
Anyway, all that said, we went through those difficult, the move was about as painful as anything I've ever experienced as a sports fan. Now, again, this was before I became a Cleveland reporter, so I could still, you know, have my allegiances to the teams that I grew up with, right?
Right.
So we went through all of that, and now here we are once again in a courtroom arguing over whether or not the Browns could move. You would think we'd have learned our lessons. Now, that said, there have been plenty of junctures here along the way where the Browns and the city could have figured this out.
And they should have.
And what's really bothered me from the jump on this, Andy, is that at no point has this been presented as a united front that we want what's really best for Cleveland and its fans, right? It's turned into a Quentin Tarantino movie of a Mexican standoff.
Yes.
Where we all have guns pointed at each other, waiting for the other one to make the move.
So there was a point a few years ago where the Browns seemed to be all in on that land bridge.
I agree.
And it felt like everyone was on the same page. But it also was before mayoral change, too.
True.
So maybe that's, and I don't know.
And I know there's been criticism, and they have not, you know, the Browns have not necessarily been enamored with Mayor Bibb and others in the council, what have you, and they've been at odds. But I wish at some point it had been presented as, hey, we want what's best. Here we are. Let's figure this out together. No, it's been about greed and what I want, and we need parking spots, and that stadium needs X amount to redevelop it. And what bothers me too, Andy, is that there's so many other things we could be doing with that money in Cleveland, right? There are so many other greater needs than fixing a football stadium that's used 15 times a year or however many times, right?
Right.
And I'm glad that they use it for concerts. And they've done actually more, it seems like. The Haslam Group has done more in the last 5 years to utilize that space down there.
Right.
My other worry, too, is that if they do decide to go to Brook Park, and obviously we're way down that line now, I always feel like the Browns, as you know, as they were viewed as a civic treasure, if you will, for years for this region, right? Mm-hmm. They would need to be at the forefront of whatever development is going to happen on that lakefront. Because I feel like once the Browns abandon that, then what happens to that spot? And I feel like the Browns being downtown are emblematic or symbolic of a vibrant downtown. And Cleveland and its downtown, with all the issues that it has, I fear what could happen without having the Browns down there. Because I just feel like it's going to be a vacant space. Now, listen, could condos go up? Could they put retail down there? Yeah. To me, that should have already happened by now, and it hasn't.
Agree.
And what's the holdup?
Politicians.
There you go.
So what it feels like. The whole thing feels like politicians. From day one,
I know,
the whole thing has felt like politicians. If the Haslams were going to put $2.1 million into a stadium, why couldn't it have been downtown? Billion. Yeah, I said million.
That's okay.
Yeah, $10 billion for the Lakers, $1.2
I laugh million. Now how, by the way, people throw around trillion like it's just, yeah.
You got a trillion
another 10 bucks. Yeah.
It's
crazy.
I gave a parking guy that the other day.
So anyway, it just, the whole thing hurts. Now, listen, I love what I've seen and what the plans are in Brook Park. And do I hope that that works out? Yeah, I think it's great. My other worry too is that they've kind of modeled it a little bit after what the Cardinals have done out in Glendale, Arizona, right?
And Yes.
Now you've been out there for spring training. The only time that place is really used, though, is by tourists that are out there during spring training, because
correct,
during the normal part of the year, people in the Arizona, in the Phoenix area, are not going there to go out to dinner.
There's no reason to
right?
go
there's
out there.
Margaritaville,
there's a couple little restaurants,
what have you. And that would be my worry about what's
happening. Which kind of what Dallas used to feel that way, a little bit. Although they still always had, they had the ballpark down the road, and then they had Six Flags was across the street, too. But that was about it.
It did. And I think it can work out. There's also some other egress problems that we have there in terms of access to highways that have to be fixed in Brook Park and what have you.
Which are already in the stages already.
I guess so, right?
Yeah,
and the airport and all that development.
Which kind of works as a bonus. Let's talk more about this in a minute.
Sounds good.
The city and the Browns are in court today, in county court, trying to figure out if the Modell law can be enforced. So we're going to talk more about that in a second. 216-474-0092. Tim Mayer, good friend, at 1 o'clock.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
In my convalescence, I've been watching some court TV.
Oh, yes.
I watched that Karen Reed trial. Did you watch any of that?
I did not
the retrial?
No.
Oh, fascinating case.
I don't even know what it's about. Sorry.
Oh, boy. You should. It's incredible.
You want to just give me the cliff?
Give me the one.
What was the trial about?
Cliff notes would be a woman in Boston after a night out drinking with her boyfriend, a Boston cop, drives him to a house. He ends up found dead on the front lawn of this house.
Oh, that's not good.
She's accused of running him over, backing up into him.
Okay.
Turns out the house that they were going to was also the house of a Boston policeman. Unbelievable. Like there's so many twists and turns. You can't even, this story is way beyond the beyond. So that's been part of my recovery, is catching up on documentaries and court TV and streaming shows that I've missed over the last couple of years. Yeah, I've been trying to get an update as well here on what's going on in court, and don't see anything currently. I know. At the end of the day, it's going to be whether or not, and I know the Browns are trying to get the Modell law part of this thing dismissed, right?
Right.
And then the city arguing that, it feels like the city is just extending this as long as they can to drive the price up to whatever it's going to take for the Browns to buy
them
out of it and get out of there.
Yeah, it's what it feels like.
You know, it's too bad. Like, listen, I've been spoiled over the years, and I guess you have, Andy, to a degree, and maybe I don't appreciate the fact that I guess it can be a burden, not a burden, but it can be a challenge to drive down to a Browns game and park. I know that's been an issue for years, right? But I also know, by the same token, how many people I hear about the Muni lot and how much fun it is to go down there and park and hang out and be with our friends. So I'm a little bit torn on the whole issue. You know, the other part of it too is that when you're down in the stadium, and again, I'm in the press box and all the comforts that come with that, and don't have the same experience as a fan.
Yeah, it is weird. You're the only one that sits in a lazy boy. I don't find that odd. I was like, how did Tom get that lazy boy?
I've got that emeritus status now.
Yes, okay, good.
No, but so I don't know, like, I can't equate, you know, the long lines for concessions and are the corridors too small? And because to me, it doesn't seem like a bad stadium. I know it's
I don't think it's a bad stadium either. And I know there's issues. Daryl tells me about all these infrastructure problems that they've got going on in there. And like, well, I can't see
And
that.
I know it's a little bit behind when you start comparing it to the, you know, the new palace in Minnesota and
Dallas,
you know,
SoFi there's a lot
and all
of
that
places.
Kind of stuff. Yeah. And I get all that. But then by the same token, I've been down to Paul Brown Stadium in Cincinnati, and that doesn't seem any better or worse or what have you. So I get it. And, you know, the other part of it too is that as an old school football fan, I mean, well, all we talked about was, you know, the fact that you could host a playoff game in January, and boy, would that even the field, and how tough it would be to have teams come in here and have to play in that Northeast Ohio weather and what have you. That would all be gone. And I
just turn the air conditioner on.
There you go.
Hey, if we could do artificial turf, why can't we do artificial snow?
And I know. And I understand the draw about getting in the mix to host a Super Bowl. I got news for you. You're going to host one Super Bowl maybe once every 20 years.
In your lifetime.
If you're lucky.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Because the NFL doesn't want to, as much as they, you know, could handle it for a couple of days, they don't want to come here in January or February. First of all, I'm not sure we have the hotel rooms to accommodate that. So that's a whole other issue. Mm-hmm. And then if you take the Browns and all that retail and what have you out of downtown Cleveland, how are you going to then balance the infrastructure to get it to where you have enough hotel rooms to host a Super Bowl?
Well, I still think you're not losing the hotel downtown, but you're not.
No,
you're not, because if the National was here, I talk about this all the time. That National Card Collectors thing was at the IX Center a couple months ago, right? Which, by the way,
it's
now
closing
you're,
as well.
Yeah, well, not well. You're going to be repurposed. Yeah. So, but everyone that I saw hundreds of people, not just a couple, hundreds of people getting on buses and vans from the hotel next door and other places downtown
to get to
get in a shuttle to get into an IX center. I don't think it's going to crush downtown hotels the way you would. Now, going back to
because people will still have to stay downtown to be able to go to the games.
And by the way, maybe it helps out Rapid. Maybe we start getting more people to use the Rapid.
To me, that's what we should have developed a long time ago, though, right?
Yes. Like, well, tell me, I wonder how a Rapid would go if you had it running along the same lines as 480. With Eastsiders and Westsiders going back and forth.
We are geographically challenged.
Oh, we are. But I was trying to explain to our kids the other day, I was like, you know, when I was a kid and we would go to North Homestead from Cleveland Heights, there was no 480. There wasn't. And so, like, I remember driving to the rink in North Homestead, getting off at Clegg or what's the other one over there? Columbia. Either one of those two to go to the rink to try to figure out. And then we'd have to find the ice rink that was behind, I think, a Denny's or something like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, but what if we had that kind of infrastructure? Would people use it? That's another question. So, it's frustrating because at the end of the day, I want a building that we use that taxpayers, if you're going to have to put money into it, can we please utilize it more than 15 times a year?
Well, and I also look at
That's my hard
side. I agree with you, too. And I also look, though, at what the Guardians have been able to do to Progressive Field and keep that place. I mean, it's older than Brown Stadium.
It would be absolutely devastating if we lost the Cavs or the Guardians downtown. There's just way too many dates compared to the Browns.
Agreed. But I like the way that they've repurposed the stadium, though, and kept it updated, right?
Mm-hmm.
It looks as good now as it did in 1994, in my opinion.
Agree.
And better in some ways, right? And they've catered to figuring out who the new demographic is, who the new fan is, the fan experience. They've done all of that. So if you can't tell me if you put $1 billion into that place that's down there right now, you couldn't have a nice stadium? What am I missing?
For how long? That's the question. How much longer is that stadium? If you're going to put $1 billion in there, is it worth putting $2 billion into another stadium that is going to last 15, 20 years more than the stadium we have right now? I don't know. I don't have those answers. And when I hear the argument on both sides, I also wonder, and I know this is going to drive everybody crazy, but because what Atlanta did, I often wonder if the Guardians played on Rockside and not downtown, what that would do for their season ticket base.
Interesting.
You move the team closer to where, I mean, how many folks in Cleveland are buying season tickets? I don't know. We want them here, though. And so again, it devastating if the baseball or basketball teams left. Devastating.
That's not happening.
No, but the football team is what the. Yeah. And I love the thought, even though they haven't been able to do it in my lifetime, of giving the mayor's office, of giving Cuyahoga County, of giving the city the opportunity to do something great on the lakefront. The opportunity will now be there for you. What are you going to do about it? Are we going to sit around and argue for years while the old stadium sits there and no one uses it, and then it gets dilapidated, and then it becomes a national eyesore? Or are they going to do something worthwhile? Think out of the box. How about a new paradigm? Let's develop the lakefront. Why can't we be Chicago? Why can't we be?
Are you on the ballot in November? I'm about to vote for you.
No, well, thank you, but there I would go. Appreciate it. I don't want to be on the ballot. Why would who wants to be a headache of being less trusted than a politician, right? Would you want that? Headache? Kevin, Chicago Falls. Hey, Kev, what's up, man?
Gentlemen, how are we doing today?
Good, good. How are you?
Fantastic. Hey, real quick before my stadium take, Tom, I'm 8 weeks out of full knee replacement surgery, and I got to tell you, on Sunday, I actually play golf with my boys. I only can play 9 holes, but keep up that rehab, and there is some light at the end of the tunnel. And I, like you, had a lot of extra damage and problems with my surgery as well, so I know what it's like. I'm going through it of having a knee that was really bad, not just your normal knee replacement. So
thanks, Kev.
Thank you, Kevin. That makes me feel. Thank you very much for that.
And thanks for joining us on Orthopedic Talk 216-474-00. I'm just teasing you, Kev. What do you got?
GT's not fun, but it's worth it, man. It really is. Hey, it's not fun at all. Anyway, based on what's happened in Columbus, I think basically with the situation now, the train is already on the tracks and it's moving, right? I mean, it's gone.
Yeah.
It's left the station. I mean, this is going to happen.
Yeah.
And the part I don't understand is the Cuyahoga County side of it. It boggles my mind. You have an entity that wants to vest $2 billion. You've got the state that's already green-lighted and stamped this on.
Yeah, what are they fighting for, right? What are they fighting for?
Well, you heard council. You heard county council the other day. Yeah. They were like, "What are we doing? This money's staying in the county, so let's go."
Yeah,
right. It makes no sense to me why the county is putting their finger in this pie at all. I mean, I understand the city. I guess kind of.
I get the city 100%.
Yeah, and but really, at this point, I mean, I haven't been on at the table with $1 billion deals, but I've helped $1 million deals. At this point, it's literally what check are you going to get scratched to? But it's already moved on. I mean, it's going to happen. So at this point, the only thing the city can do is literally just delay it a little bit and try and get a little more money. And I can understand that might be their perspective and all that, and they want to look like they're trying to do something to save the downtown and all that. Okay, whatever, fine. But the county part is that I am just dumbfounded by these county commissioners and why they haven't been behind trying to do something to improve our
It's not county.
Area.
I mean, remember, the county doesn't run the way it used to. There's the head of the county, and then there's a council. And so it's not right. Like it was. Remember, back in the day, we had 3 county commissioners. Those days are over. And, you know, Dan Ronayne is the president of the county, is probably the best way to put it, right? If you're looking at it from just trying to do old civic stuff. Kevin, thank you. Appreciate it. Don is in Worcester. Hey, Don, how are you?
Hey, Andy and Tom, how's it going?
Good, Don.
You know, Tom, you hit on the salient points, and so did you, Andy, in a broader perspective. But we're concerned with revenue being lost in the downtown Cleveland area. And you can talk about those hotels, and, well, they hosted the Republican National Convention. A lot of delegates had to stay in Akron because that's a bigger show, if you will, than a particular football game. So we can look at that. But if the Haslam group is trying to get this into federal court, thinking that a federal judge might have a broader perspective, more favorable to Haslam, they better think again, because most of those judges appointed by whatever president was in office and party are from Cleveland. Live in Cleveland, went to school here, have a connection to the area. I've seen them at Browns games. So it's something that they better
Don, if the city says the Modell law doesn't apply, they'll drop their lawsuit and won't go Fed. Why would they? It'd be all over. The decision will be made today.
If the Common Pleas Court says that, the way I read that law, going back to when it was first drafted, it says the city of Cleveland. It doesn't say you can't leave Cuyahoga County It says the city can't leave the corporate limits of the city of Cleveland. Now, there's no way of changing that. And Andy and Tom, I don't know. I know you're not legal scholars. Maybe you are. But it depends on what judge and his particular biases, and they all have them, the way he looks at things or she looks at things, and how they read that.
All right. Well, thank you, Don. We'll wait and we'll see what happens today. Then we'll see what the next step is after that. I don't know. Here's what I know: that if I've ever lived in an apartment and my lease ran out and I paid out my lease, I'm free to leave. Like, I don't know how can you stop? I think that what they're doing is they're questioning the constitutionality of the Modell law.
I can completely understand. So when I was still reporting on this before I left the AP, I read that Modell law 17 times, and I was like, wait a minute, I don't understand. So many little, you know, legalese, you know, ambiguous sentences in it. So it didn't surprise me at all that the Browns would file a lawsuit to find out exactly, does this pertain to the situation or not?
So we'll get our first step today in that, but everything seems to be green-lighted. Even Cuyahoga County Council said, be prepared, Brook Park, let's move forward. So 216-474-0092, 216-474-0092 is the number to call in. When we come back, the great Tim May, fresh off his U.S. Open Tour. Now we're going to talk some Buckeyes with him from Letterman Row. He is next on Baskin and Phelps with Tom Withers.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.